All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. This is episode 104. Today's date is April, it's the 20th, a Wednesday, 2022. And I want to give you a brief description of a project that I'm working on called How to Become a Strategic Asset. Before we get into that, I just want to say to everyone who's listening, thank you for listening to this show. If you like it, please go to the YouTube channel and to the Rumble channel and subscribe. Your subscriptions help out this show. Eventually, you know, with the way YouTube works, you get high enough in subscriptions, you start to get a little bit of money from it. So I'm trying to hit that angle from as many ways as possible. But it's through your help that makes this show stay on the air, because I have to pay for quite a bit. And then, you know, it's also you, the listeners, the fans, who help me, you know, get inspiration to do very creative writing topics for you, and also to make good content for you. Now, I like a lot of people who do this. You know, I am nowhere near the level of Alex Jones or the Steve Quayles or any of these other guys. But I'll tell you this much. I have a true drive for what I'm doing right now, to help with motivating people, to help pulling people's minds out of the gutter, showing people that there are better ways to make use of your time, and making people aware not just of the instabilities around the world, but making people become aware of what they can do to help themselves, their families, and others. So today, that's what we're going to be going over: becoming a strategic asset. Now, this is my mission statement. I just want to make you a better person. I just want to set you up for success. All right. Whatever your field is, everything that we do within society is pertinent to how society functions. We can't really resort back to the way it used to be, because we've already progressed so far in technology, and too many people have forgotten these mechanical, laborious skills. So because of that, we've honestly become much weaker as a people. And, you know, instead of being jack of all trades, people have become very technical and precise. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's the jack of all trades. It's the handyman's. You will see when it starts to break down how people like that become a strategic asset. Now, what are we planning for? Well, for something that one of the listeners recently sent me, and for some of you others, plan for anything, all right? And like a friend of mine, Paul, was just on the phone with me. We were talking about, you know, this becoming an asset project. Really, it comes down to anything. You know, if there's a natural disaster, knowing how to do things and knowing the people to go to that can help you. Because sometimes government-provided services or city or county-provided services will not be there for you. So, you know, that applies to wildfires. That applies to severe tornado outbreaks, hurricanes, floods, you know, droughts, severe winter storms. Being an asset to me means having skills to help you survive and thrive during these types of scenarios. Even in today's day, you can still be an asset for your local community. And I still believe that, you know, whatever your doomsday scenario is, having technical skills, having skills that your community, your family, yourself can rely upon, it's life-saving. It's life-preserving. So let's harp on that with each other. Learn something new every day. Try and read you a book a week if you can. I would strongly suggest for people to start buying basic mechanics books, you know, basic welding books if you do or don't know how to weld. I would tell people to learn how to preserve what you have on your homestead or your house or your apartment if the need ever arises and no one can be there to help you. And we're going to get into that, so before I get ahead of myself, that's what today's topic is. All right, we're going to go to a break. I know we just started, but I want to get the paid advertisement stuff out of the way. So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to get right into this.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
All right, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. We are going to get back on the topic, becoming an asset. Once again, this is my mission statement. I want to set you up for success. So, no matter the situation or the disaster, be an asset that is worth being relied upon. So, how do we become an asset then? Well, my loose definition of being an asset is that it would involve a person with particular usefulness based upon their specific skills and the level of competency within their skills and the usefulness of those skills that can be applied for beneficiary purposes to a community. Examples: laborers with general construction-based knowledge, your electricians, the engineers, the carpenters, the masons, the welders, the plumbers, your mechanics. Then to your more technical skills, like your dentist, your doctors, your nurses, and then to the really technical stuff, like the software engineers and the computer experts. Now, before we move on, let's just go over why I labeled those. So, for the overall general construction guys, and those with the mechanic skills. Well, for starters, if we're going to build anything, we need the general construction workers and their laborers, okay? We need people who know how to wire or rewire anything after a bad storm or a bad fire. You want the electrician who knows what he's doing, right? What about the carpenter? What if we need something built? Well, we want to make sure it's level. We want to make sure that it's sturdy. And that, you know, a 50-mile-per-hour gust of wind doesn't blow it down and kill anybody inside of it. So that's why it's good to have people who are professionals and proficient at their skills, right? What about the engineers? Well, my God, where does an engineer not come into use? You know, everything that we do now, mechanically based or structurally based, involves engineers. The engineers will be the one reading the blueprint for the city. They'll be the ones, you know, setting up the power lines. They'll be the ones who are keeping, you know, your power sources up and running. Just imagine, if you had the nuclear reactor in the backyard of your community, would you not want that asset to be protected? Or your water purification plant, your water tower, the water pipes? Would that not become a valuable asset during any type of natural disaster or doomsday-like scenario? I would say it would be. So what about the medical field then? Well, I mean, come on. When does it not apply? I mentioned dentists right off the bat. Who here, after the power's been turned out or turned off, after all the calamities have happened, who here wants to go see the average guy, sitting on his porch and say, hey, will you pull this tooth out? Or, hey, will you come and, look at this infection I have in my mouth? Dentists will play a high role within this world because it's part of your survival. It's part of your physical health. We need the experts. We need the people who have the tools and know how to apply the proper medical procedures. The same thing with the doctors. The same thing with the nurses. We need people that can take care of our boo-boos and our aches and our pains and, if need be, that very serious surgery. And even then, during these times, there will be some surgeries that may not be applicable anymore. And then you'll have triage areas. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But also consider this. Within the realms of the medical world, those hospitals, those pharmacies, the nursing homes, what will they all require? Power. They'll all require generation power. So they'll all need generators. Generators will either run off of natural gas or gasoline or diesel. You'll need to make sure that you have a secured pipeline for that, a storage area with those combustibles. You'll need security on it at all times, obviously. You'll have to have security just on the delivery of any of that. It will look very much like how we lived in our lives in combat. Everything will have a gun accompanying it because those type of assets are life-saving, right? Life-preserving. So what about the more technical stuff like the software engineers and computer experts? Well, once again, just like your regular engineer, when is it that the software engineers and computer experts are not needed now? Most of your main sources of power generation or the ability to, run the infrastructure of cities come from guys and gals with the skill of the software engineers and the computer experts. Even the kid who's over there, by himself at lunch at high school and he's building himself a computer. We need people like that to survive, especially now. While we have the ability to access that technology and to preserve it, we need to have it used. It's useful while it's there. Obviously, depending if it's an EMP or if it's some other sort of catastrophic event and no power comes on, we can cross that bridge when we get there, but let's preserve it while we have it, right? So, obviously, a society after a collapse would benefit from these occupations, these professional occupations. But what about the ethics and the law portion? Well, to the judges, to the lawyers, you'll have your place, but it will be very limited. It'll be very limited because most likely during a disaster, martial law will be in effect. And with martial law comes very strict rules, which comes the real ethics and law portion. Would you still want the ability, when we don't have the usefulness of a prison anymore, because why would we keep people there and send food and gas and other energy resources to these people, right? Regardless if you agree with that or not, it's going to be a topic of discussion. If you're a lawyer, and your only good skill was debating on the devil's dance floor, well, you better learn how to use a shovel then. You know, same thing for the judge. I would tell these people, the lawyers, the judges, to be a part of the city council, because you would still need a council, and to help out however you can. You know, even in the realms of law enforcement, you're still going to want your first responders. You're still going to need your firefighters, your EMS, and the police. Just imagine, you may not think that's a pertinent position to have during the doomsday-like scenario, but you don't think, even whenever, you know, all prophecy has hit the fan, that we're not going to have crime, that there's not going to be, you know, robberies or murders or assassinations or kidnappings or rapes? Oh, there will be. If anything, there'll be much more of it. And law enforcement will have to grow and adapt to that environment. Most likely, law enforcement will have to be augmented by the civilian population. There'll probably be a need for police academies still to train people on how to become an ethical law enforcement officer. That way you're not out there, you know, just randomly beating people to death because, you know, they stole some potatoes. You know, we need to keep some semblance of law because that's what divides us from everyone else, is the compassion within that law. And, you know, I'm going to get emails from a bunch of people who say that, you know, they like cops or they don't like cops or they have whatever opinion they have. I really don't care. I'm just telling you that if you want this society to work, society needs to remain as normal as possible. There will be constraints, trust me. But it needs to remain as normal as possible, because when it's not normal, when it's not everyday business, well, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to insert their own rule and do what they want. And if they're not held to a certain standard, well, it's going to be a free-for-all. Good luck with that one. So within the realms of law enforcement, that's a tricky question. I say law enforcement doesn't change, but I would say that the way that penalties are looked at are going to have to be actually much more severe. Could you imagine what happens whenever the, let's just say, what's happening in New York and San Francisco and throughout California. You have these videos of teenagers, of youths, the Utes, and they're running amok through the mall. All right, they're rampantly going around and smashing stuff like they did at the Walmart in Florida, and they're stealing stuff everywhere. Well, what happens when they break into the pharmacy? They steal all the baby formula. Or what happens whenever they go and they start hitting all the narcotics that's inside the pharmacy? How many people then die painfully because of stupid kids? There has to be penalties. Now, I don't know about you, but I am willing to bet, and this is just me, all right? God forbid this ever happens, but I'd be willing to bet if you got 10 lashes publicly for stealing morphine, you probably wouldn't go and do that again. I'm just saying, right? Now, if you look in the book 1 Second After, which, I mean, come on, people, that is a main source of intelligence there. When you talk about trying to put into your mind what a community would be like, I can't present to you anything better than the three books, 1 Second After, 1 Day After, 1 Year After. It is eye-opening. It is a must-read on Wrecker's List. It's a must-read. I'm telling you to read all three of those books. Buy the audio version. It's very well narrated. It's very entertaining to listen to. And take notes. You'll take copious amounts of notes. I'll be honest with you. It's one of those books that helped to motivate me and make me think outside the box so that I can give you something now like what I am with this How to Become a Strategic Asset. And I'm basing this off of, obviously, military experience, law enforcement experience. But what if it was, you know, an epidemiologist who wanted to give this briefing? What if it was, you know, the guy who makes cabinets for a living wanted to give a briefing like this? And you'll be able to find this on theamericanvindictusshow.com. It'll be out later today on the blogs, so that if in the case you want to copy this and print it, give it to some of your friends, I implore you to share it at Bible study. Just get the general topic going. Just get the conversation going. It's an important conversation to have. So I'm going to give you kind of a guideline. And this is the way I think. Add to it, take away from it, make it your own thing. Make it fit your need. Okay, I'm just giving you a basics. All right. All of these positions, they're important to making a society function. I don't think I need to go into how important firefighters and EMS are, but the ability to have their machines up and working, the ability to have gas and diesel set aside for the ambulance, for the fire truck, that's probably a must. Just wait till there's no power, and then you have the wildfire, and it just starts consuming home after home. That's happening in America right now, unfortunately, in Arizona. And, you know, just look at the wildfires that's happened from the entire West Coast, man. I mean, trust me, if you've never seen one of those apocalyptic-like events, and I've been there, I've seen them, when wildfires have consumed tens of thousands of acres to include hundreds or thousands of homes, it changes your opinion about a lot of things. It really does. All right, so moving on. What else can be an asset? Well, when the prophecy hits the fan, just consider this. How many of these occupations that I have previously listed will still be showing up for their 9-to-5 jobs when the country goes into complete panic and collapses due to whatever reason? Insert your apocalyptic disaster scenario. Figure out what your doomsday scenario is. And just consider this, if it all goes bad, will the people who maintain the normal life of everyday city dwellers still show up for work? Maybe at first, but eventually, they will be forced to take care of their own. Then we get into the harder to speak on conversation topics, like, who comes to fix my broken pipes after a winter storm? Who repairs my generator when it stops running due to bad gas or whatever, no oil? Let alone, who becomes the available gas station? Do you not think that gas stations will become a strategic asset worthy of protecting? What about the pharmacies? I would put so much security on a pharmacy that you would have better luck robbing a bank rather than visiting malice upon any of my pharmacies. And I don't have this wrote down, but let's just go into it. Why? Why the pharmacy? Why the gas station? We will need gas for vehicles, period. Vehicles will move troops. Vehicles will move goods, supplies, cattle, chicken, eggs, milk, produce, lumber. Vehicles will move water for firefighters. Vehicles will move people to go back and forth to hospitals. Vehicles will move your mechanics and all the needs of the mechanics in order to keep everything up and working. We don't understand how important that necessity of the moving automobile is until it's taken away from you and you have to get outside and walk or bicycle or ride a horse. Good luck moving a large amount of gear with any of those right now. How many people, and all you horse owners, how many people out there have something that is either a wagon or something that you can convert into a wagon? And do you have the proper harnesses for your horses to drag anything? Or will you be forced to make something? If you have to be forced to make something, isn't that when the carpenter comes into use? I'm just saying, people used to be able to make all this stuff themselves, or they had specific people to go to. You know, you may not consider it, you may consider it to be, you know, even levels of barbaric, But just wait till you need the good old smithy. You need someone to be able to fashion iron and steel, and you don't have the hydraulic power anymore, and you need manpower. You need hammer to anvil power. People like that, their technical proficiencies, they will be needed. They will become assets. The pharmacies. What do pharmacies have inside them? Life-saving, life-preserving medication, which most of that has to have a certain level of temperature inside that store to keep any of those things, especially the ones that are in refrigerators, they have to stay a certain temperature. If you want them to spoil, don't turn the generator on at the pharmacy. So what does that also mean? Well, you're going to have to take away assets from assets. What do I mean by that? In order to preserve life-saving, life-preserving medication, cops, you may be riding four or five guys to one car instead of one guy per squad car. That preserves gasoline to be used for the pharmacies. Banks, grocery stores, places like that, sorry. You just had your power cut. The library, sorry. You ain't getting a generator. You know, and not to say that a library is not a wealth of knowledge, but life-saving, life-preserving medications, they are key. So just consider that. Your insulin, you know, that has to stay a certain temperature, or the half-life starts getting taken away, you know, temperature by temperature as it loses its temperature. And all these things, what they end up doing, and not only that, let's consider a very hard topic, is the resupply of these assets. If they're not resupplied, then they just became invaluable. So we have to preserve them. Another reason why you want to maintain good, proper mechanical efficiency for all your mechanical devices, your cars and whatnots, is because you'll need to go from town to town to pick up supplies. You may need to go, you know, from one state to another to pick up supplies. Once again, engineers, how are we going to talk to people? You're going to have to find a way if everything's down. If your cell phone doesn't work anymore, ham radio, those stations will have to be brought back up online. You know, do you have a solar field? Do you have the ability to create one if you don't have the power generation stations anymore? Who knows how to create the steam-driven engines that can generate the power? These are topics that you may approach. These are topics that obviously need to be discussed at community levels. The problem with that is most people are so damn lazy, they don't want to ever consider this topic. Because for one, your average city, town, community doesn't have answers to half of what I just discussed. The other problem is people are way more in tune into politics and being reelected than actually being a worthy asset for their community. So, what does that mean? Well, in the realms of having a job, 3/4 of you government employees, you're fired. Sorry. We will need you elsewhere. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. We're going to get into some other matters of becoming an asset. We're going to talk about the security side that I know everybody is, you know, always wanting to hear. So we'll go to a break and we'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have. Access to food, other resources, So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it. Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And welcome back. This is American Vindicta. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I put this together just a couple days ago, even though obviously I've been working on this for a while. But I was going to, you know, make this into like a cool theatrical thing with music and sound effects, but nah, screw it. Let's just sit down and have a serious conversation. Once again, this will be posted onto the American Vindicta Show blog. If you did not know this, occasionally I like to do some creative writing and put thoughts to words. And, you know, maybe I sound a little bit manic whenever I do some of my blogs, but it's a fun way to get out and do it. I do suggest everyone to, you know, in some sort of a way, write down your thoughts occasionally. You know, have a little bit of a journal, especially during times of great distress. When prophecy hits the fan, it may be a good way to let out emotions that you held, you know, inside your chest for too long. And instead of letting it out on somebody, let it out on the paper. All right. Anyways, let's get into it. Assets. What about a hospital and all of its employees? And I mean all of its employees. At the hospital, everyone there is trained to a certain limitation of what is expected day to day. From the director of the hospital to the head doctor of whatever, you know, skill set, all the way down to the custodians that help to disinfect and to help keep that installation clean. That is the biggest key, is keeping it clean. Every single person there is a key asset. From the mop to the scalpel, it is a key asset. During any type of disaster, a hospital probably becomes the second or even first most valuable asset in a community. Let me ask you a question. Would you not relocate other assets, such as the security personnel, to that hospital? Also, having a mass storage for gasoline and diesel to keep the power on. Having people there on standby, like your diesel mechanics, in case the power generation that you have for your community goes off. You want an onboard mechanic there who can fix anything that happens in that hospital. And 9 times out of 10, those people, those engineers, are already stationed there at a hospital. When I worked for the federal government, I dealt with this quite a bit with, let's just say, helping federal installations to run correctly and finding out how they do. So, we would want to be doing constant assessments on our fuel storage, on our medical storage. You know, how many scalpels do we have left? How do we clean them? How many, aprons do we have left? How do we clean them? All the way down to Band-Aids and bandages. You'll need to keep a tally for all those things. But with the security side, just consider how many people are going to want to be seen at a hospital daily. How many people are going to be treated at a hospital daily. And, you know, when the power goes out, stuff gets really bad, people. You're going to see a lot more accidents than you ever did. People who, you know, never knew how to swing a machete. It's probably going to be bouncing off trees and hitting them right in the leg. People who've never swung an axe, like me and my friend Paul were talking about. Just imagine that one poor dude who's just trying to cut up some trees in the back so that he can have a cord of wood to last him for the winter. And then, you know, never swung an axe before. No one ever showed him woodsman skills. And that axe goes straight into the foot or right into the shin. Those injuries happen. Same thing with chainsaws going into people's legs or into their arms or in their face when the chainsaw kicks back after being stuck. Or, you know, trees falling on people. It's common. It's common within any realm of construction. There are going to be accidents to the extent of catastrophic mass casualty accidents. You would want that hospital to be prepared for all of that. Let me give you a bad scenario, though. The disease outbreaks. Look what happened with COVID-19. Could you imagine if we had the scare of COVID-19 and then the power went out? You know, I mean, they were trying to take people's temperatures from the parking lot. They wouldn't even allow them to come into the building if they had a certain temperature. Just imagine when it's all the other diseases that are typically eradicated from our daily life, you know, because of life-saving, life-preserving technology. When all those come back, just imagine what happens. Doctors will probably need a 3,000 to 4,000 calorie diet just a day, just to keep their strength up, because they're going to be working 24/7. And if you're the one town that has like two doctors in it, God help you, because they're your most valuable asset. And I didn't write this down, so just go ahead and consider in the realms of the hospital and doctors, who's going to bury the dead? Where are you going to take them? If you don't have the machinery to bury the dead, how many able-bodied citizens are going to be out there with shovels, you know, on the golf resorts, which is probably going to be your softest ground? And that's going to turn into a mass grave probably within a year. And that's based off of government standards. So, you know, double rations for those guys. That is some hard, laborious work. Oh, not to mention, if it is any type of disease outbreak, what are you going to do with the dead? Are you going to bury them or are you going to burn them? If you burn them, you better have security out there to make sure that there are no animals that take parts of the bodies and runs off with it. Just saying, that's real life. You know, and the same thing can be said for veterinarians. If we have, you know, chickens and cows and sheep and goats and horses and all these other nice animals that help our lives be a little bit better, like pigs as well, you better have veterinarians who can also help out with surgeries with doctors. You better have them at the tippy top of your list as some of the most well-protected, well-fed people. Now, I'm not saying that they should be well-fed to the point that every time you see the guy, he should have a Twinkie in his hand. But they're going to need the calories because they are going to be working. And they need security escorts everywhere they go. So, since we've talked about security a couple times, let's talk about it. Community preparation and security. preparing overall maps of your community and the most valuable assets in your community. And don't forget, where does the food come from? Your farms, your ranches. They are probably your second most valuable commodities in your community, next to your water source and your hospitals and pharmacies. You're going to have to provide 24/7 security for these assets. You don't want people stealing your food. You don't want people poaching or randomly killing animals that, you know, we're going to need as a community to survive. You don't want people out there, you know, dirtying up the water for whatever reason. Don't think that there's not the one crazy guy who wouldn't, you know, find like a couple of like, you know, dead deer or whatever, that just a rotting carcass, and just throw it in the public well just to see what happens. Those people are out there. So you're going to need your security, and security, by security, my Lord, I'm not talking about like your church security where, and I've helped out with this before, but you know, where your average security guy in your church is in his 60s and up. That's not what I'm talking about. All you young cats out there, you 20-somethings, you will be the ad hoc security. You will be the laborer. It's your youth. It's your young back where civilization will be balancing upon. It's going to be part of your role. It's the learning experience. However, security is a must. It's probably number 4, number 5 on my most important list. So, overall, having maps for your area, knowing these areas, taking your community and breaking up into sectors and having, you know, companies and their captains in charge of the companies, like we did in the military, in charge of certain sectors. So if one sector is being invaded by an outside force, or if they are depleted within their ability to remain a security cordon, or if they're called off to help another sector, those different units are going to be needed to be pulled from one direction to another to help augment and assist other units. That's just the way it is. Communication is key. With security, communication is key. Radios, signaling devices, and runners for communication. Paper and pen will be much needed. You're going to be needing to have distribution of orders to go back and forth. You're going to need, if you're on the outside cordon, you're going to have the ability to bring any type of information from a reconnaissance team into the interior, where the city council is, where the community leaders are, where your tactical, your talks are, your tactical command centers are. And people are going to have to disseminate information, decide on a plan, initiate the plan, have the rough draft for it, and then they're going to need to finalize the plan and send it back out to the troops. Logistics are going to become key for all of this. Overlays of security for hospitals, energy power stations, entrance and exit ports, if you have if you're next to a navigable water source, you're going to have to create that into a port of entry, and you're going to have to control it. You're going to have Coast Guard, seashore duty. You don't want the average person, if you're trying to lock down your community and to keep it as safe as relevantly possible, you're going to need to control all means of access in and out of your community. The highways, the farm-to-market roads, the interstates, all these things are going to have to be controlled one way or the other. Figure it out. Food storage. Barracks for security forces. Hardened structures that are set aside for the civilian populations in case of any type of imminent attack upon the population. You're going to have to be creating rings of perimeter security, both internally and externally. Based off of a source that I know of, I like the theory of the nine rings of security. You know, within every ring of security is another one, and everybody knows everybody's job. You're going to need a list of emergency personnel staff, and you're going to need the alternate list of the personnel staff in case the primary staff members are incapable of fulfilling their duties. That's going to be your engineers, your mechanics, your basic, you know, general construction workers, the doctors, all the way from firefighters and EMS to police to your internal security force, your external security force. Let's say you created a military attaché, right? So everybody is going to need to know who the primary source of contact is and who their alternate is. You're going to need a list of leadership for various roles of the community and their alternates. You're going to need sources of communication that can still be salvaged. Munitions and weapons. You're going to need armories and distribution centers for arms in case you need to pass that out to civilian populations. If you think I'm joking, just check out Ukraine. That is what they recently did, and guess what they ended up doing? They even gave weapons to the gangs and to the criminals. Would you do that in your community, knowing what you know now? Good food for thought, right? What about water filtering systems? Underground bunkers and hardened structures where water and food rations can be stored. Ancient well springs that can be tapped during a time of great need. Estimates of diseases once the community has to be locked down that's already known in the community. And life-saving services when they start to go offline. What type of diseases we'll be expecting from the hospital and from the field? Do we have the allocation of resources to combat that without bringing disease into the hospital? How about an estimate of medicine? If a mass plague or infection breaks out in the community, what types of diseases, symptoms, severity of contagion if the food and water resources are fouled? Also, what remedial measures are there in place in case such an incident was to occur and you have to burn your whole crop? You have to wipe out all the chickens, all the swine from flus, mad cow disease, hoof and mouth disease. You're going to need triage areas, the grave digging details, endless screening of how all supplies are being sustained and secured, down to the smallest detail of expiration dates and items that are mildewed due to an inequality in the humidity inside the storage areas. What about inspections on food stocks to be performed daily and also recorded? Every ration taken, either from a person eating it, or the ration has to be disposed due to whatever ailments, must be recorded. There will be rumors and conspiracies of factions hoarding rations for themselves and their families. This is unavoidable, and it is why an accurate, stringent account of all food rations must be kept and must be protected at the highest levels of security. Food controls the behavior of the weak-minded and the desperate. A fortress can implode from within based solely on conspiracies and factions in the community. Do not underestimate the depravity of man when you are trying to prepare for chaos. Do not take inner security for granted either. In my honest opinion, let's wrap this up. In my honest opinion, in the matters of security, we need to take a hard look at security before the emergency happens. We must go beyond the ideas of the Minuteman militias now. Due to the interference from the federal government and the lack of accountability in our current formed militias nationwide based either from the lack of technical proficiency with a major in tactical applications or from the minor of government infiltration and the frequency and sabotage by state and federal actors. I would declare to you, in any and all large formed militias, to be hereby compromised from the internal level. Just look at what happened with Governor Whitmer. I rest my case. So instead of forming a militia of unknowns, turn yourself and reliable people that you can trust into strategic national assets. For in the day the need arises, and men and women must be called to combat any internal conflict or even an invasion from an external threat, it will be your decision to participate in your community, maybe even your nation's defense, or not to engage at all. If you do decide to engage in the defense of our communities, our nation, during a time of great need, during one of these doomsday scenarios, okay, I'm not talking today, I'm talking about the theoretical now, you must understand that the rules of war during the current period of that time, which can change rapidly with the introduction of chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear weapons, the theory of war will also vary based on troop strength and weaponry. If you have a large contingent of people that are going to be coming through your town, one of these large cults, do you have the assets to protect the community? This conflict will be nationwide. Most likely, be even higher likely, your theater of operations will be on the state level, county level, city level, street level. You must secure your base of operations first, obviously, before moving to assist others in the means of defense. Now, a defense force's only occupation is the defense of their territory. All right, so we're speaking about security here. All other forward applied forces will have to be carefully calculated in their deployments as to what theaters they are most needed in during these times. You may have to move security assets from one location across the way to another territory, another town, and help secure their place as well. That's where cooperation, legislation, politics are going to be needed. But not by the politicians we have now. We need people during these desperate times to be counted upon, voted upon by the community. Not by dictators, by a community. We must remember, during the conflict, that resources are limited. A resupply of major logistical items, probably not pliable at this point in time. Everything that you'll do during these times, you will either benefit from it because you prepared now, or you will suffer for it because you gaffed this off, you didn't believe it, you didn't care, and you weren't prepared. So what does that mean? Wrapping this up. Are you going to be an asset or a liability? The choice is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Doug Thornton. If you need help with this, if your church wants to speak about this, if you and a community of people have a plan and you want it to be assessed, hit me up. You can go to theamericanvindictiveshow.com. You can email me. My goal here is, obviously, iron sharpening iron. The way we all survive and succeed is for us all to be prepared and to be a valuable asset. And that, obviously, as I've already said before, That's a wide range of people. I still believe in America. I still believe in the hardworking Americans that protect this nation in every way that we don't think about. So, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for tomorrow. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.